LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Up very early this morning and watching the news, of course, pushing everything, even, it takes a lot to do this, even President Trump, off the headlines, is the area around Houston, Texas, that was first hit by a hurricane and now is experiencing what looks like devastating flooding. The extent of the damage seems almost beyond calculation, and that is, of course, something that is calling both the nation and the church to step up and think about how we can help. We're going to get an update on the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey. Joining us to do so on this Monday afternoon, Dr. Ross Johnson, Director of Disaster Response for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Dr. Johnson, welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
This isn't just flooding, which we in the Midwest see almost every year. This is flooding after a hurricane has rolled over the region. How would you describe the degree of damage and devastation there?
This is for sure the biggest natural disaster that we've had on the Gulf Coast since Katrina. We're anticipating that this is going to be a Katrina-sized event with the same amount of devastation, homes that are lost, and we're gearing up for it to be a substantial event like that, thousands of homes that will be needing to be rebuilt. One thing that a lot of people don't know is that after Katrina, Lutherans, LCMS, and its volunteers rebuilt over 6,000 homes in New Orleans area, and we're anticipating rebuilding minimum homes similar to that again in the Houston, Texas, but also the Corpus Christi. One thing that's really unique about this response is the amount of Lutheran congregations that we have in the disaster area. The reports that we're getting in from the district leaders is that 161 congregations are in the affected area. And that gives us a unique opportunity as Lutherans to be able to respond to the needs of those communities. Just about everywhere that's flooded has a Lutheran congregation that's nearby. That gives us the opportunity to show mercy, compassion, and outreach to be able to take care of physical needs, but also spiritual needs after this disaster.
So you're really talking about those congregations there in place are conduits for the concern and the care and the acts of mercy that the rest of us in the country want to show.
Exactly. And somebody asked me a while back, what makes LCMS Disaster Response or what you as Lutherans do different than all the other organizations? And quite honestly, there are a lot of helpful organizations out there. But what the Lutheran Church does is it sees somebody in need and we help them with their physical need, mucking out their home, rebuilding their homes. But what we also do is we blend that with spiritual care. We have the good news of the gospel that we share with somebody that's lost everything. And when somebody loses everything that they own, all their earthly goods, whether they're a Christian or not, they have a particular spiritual crisis that they're going through. And that's where we're able to bring in the sweet words of comfort that comes from God's word.
How do things proceed? Because I remember Katrina, I mean, just the first several weeks were logistical nightmares, getting into the area, locating people, simply trying to figure out what needs to be done. How do you even begin such a task, Dr. Johnson?
Absolutely. What we're experiencing right now is we're seeing the rains coming down. We're hearing about the flooding. We're seeing flooded out houses. And President Harrison was telling me about the events that happened before Katrina and during Katrina, and he said this is so reminiscent to him about the calm that happens before the chaos and the explosion of need. People have left their homes or they're somehow trying to survive through this. Next week, everybody's going to be returning to their homes in a crisis, in a panic, in utter need, because they're going to find that everything that they have is lost, gone, damaged, and there's a ticking clock as the mold is setting in, as the mildew is setting in to muck out their homes, to remove all that drywall, all the carpeting, all the furniture, all their appliances, their mattress, their bed, their everything that they own to the street to get that out of their house so that the mold doesn't continue, that it doesn't grow. So in the next coming weeks, there's going to be a large need for volunteers. Right now what we're doing is we're waiting for the floodwaters to subside, and that's one of the most frustrating, difficult things to do. But we can't go in while the floodwaters are still there, obviously. But the first thing that I'm going to be doing the next couple of days as I enter into Houston is I am going to be assessing what are congregations that we can use as hubs of mercy and outreach, and then how can we bring volunteers in to help. But there's three things that people can be doing right now. The first one is just be praying for the people, for wisdom, for the homeowners, for patience, for God to bless them. Also for those that are leading this response, for them to have wisdom, strategic planning, and also God's blessing upon them in this time period. But secondly, we're going to need volunteers, but that's going to be in 2 or 3 weeks from now. Thirdly, what people can be doing right now is giving. There's an enormous financial need that's going to come. There are going to be billions of dollars of loss. In a flooding event, it's the worst event that happens in communities because people are not insured. If someone doesn't live by a river or in a floodplain, they don't have insurance. Their mortgages don't require them to have insurance. They're not being irresponsible, but most people don't anticipate planning for a once-in-a-thousand-year or 500-year event. So most people do not have insurance, and they're going to have enormous costs. They still have their mortgage payment to pay. They have all the cost of mucking out their home, rebuilding their homes, finding a temporary shelter that they need to rent. And there's so much chaos that will ensue. Plus, they have to rebuy all the clothes, furniture, furnishings. Most people, they're starting their life over again. And some of these people are 50, 60, 70 years old, and they don't have a backup emergency plan. They don't have extra funds in place, and they really need the church's mercy.
Talk about those congregations, how this is not just, well, we're going to help our church members because we know, we just naturally know their needs better. We have a pre-established connection with them. But the need to reach out into the broader community around that congregation and the opportunity that affords both that congregation and the rest of us to
aid them. Thank you for bringing that up, because I think there's a big misconception that Lutherans only take care of Lutherans. Absolutely. We want to take care of our pastors, our church workers, our members. We have a vocational responsibility that way. However, we also show mercy and we extend that to the community at large. We want to take care of children, the elderly, the impoverished people, minorities, people that don't have the resources to help themselves, that have never entered into the church. We want to use this as an opportunity to share the love of Christ with them. Those 161 churches were there long before the storm hit. They're going to be there during the storm, and they're going to be there, for God willing, many years after the storm. And so we have an ability to do a long-term approach, but also those congregations, they know the needs of their community. Local congregations know their community, what their real needs are, and they're able to navigate and help out people that are falling through the cracks. FEMA does a good job, and thank God that they're there, and many other organizations do, but they're large in their blanketed approaches. The church has the ability to see the people that the rest of the society is leaving and letting slip through the cracks, and we can address those needs, because in comparison to the big government organizations, we as the church are much smaller, but we're also much more nimble to meet those kind of needs.
And talk again about... We are also motivated, not simply because we care about people who are suffering this kind of loss and devastation, but because we have, quite frankly, a command to step up and do something. We can't simply sit by on the sidelines and say, we're going to let the government take care of that.
Absolutely. And we are little Christ or reflections of Christ to the world all around us. We see in the person and nature of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Jesus who came to earth, who suffered and went through so much brokenness so that he could show mercy and compassion to us. And thankfully, he did. But as we reflect the love of Christ to the world around us, and we see people that are in situations of desperation that might not earn or deserve our compassion or mercy, we still show mercy to them. We go above and beyond, just like Jesus went above and beyond. while we were still his enemies, he came and he died for us. So when we see people in the community that are in need, we want to act and show the love of Christ. One thing that I am reminded of is one of my favorite Bible verses growing up, Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And I always like to remind people that whatever situation that they're going through and those dark moments that they're having, and whether you're affected by the flood or you're going through your own personal tragedies, wherever your listeners are, that the key word in that verse is through, that God hasn't abandoned you, that you're not stuck in the valley of the shadow of death, but by God's grace and mercy, He is getting us through the valleys and the darkness of this life. And He's getting us through with Christ, and we, as we look to the cross, His rod and His staff, they comfort us. And we know that our best life is not now. It's not in this world. It's not in this place, in the brokenness where hurricanes destroy, but rather our best life is in the world to come. So we're able as Christians and as the church to give a Christian hope, something greater and bigger than something that can be destroyed within a moment's time. So many people store up their treasures here, but we as the church can tell people that there's a treasure that is stored up for us that is greater that cannot be destroyed.
Dr. Ross Johnson is our guest. A few more minutes with him on the other side of the break as we talk about the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey. He's Director of Disaster Response for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism, and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Who is the Holy Spirit? Will there be animals in heaven? How can parents raise Christian children in a hostile culture? This month, find faithful, Bible-based answers to tough theological questions when you subscribe to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's flagship magazine, The Lutheran Witness. Visit cph.org/trylutheranwitness to get 6 issues for only $6.99. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Law Assumed Sermon, the Gospel Afterthought Sermon, the God Loves You Anyway Sermon. I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled An Updated Listener's Guide to the Pulpit. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Matt Richard details his journey from folk Lutheranism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Looking for a faithful Lutheran church in East Central Oklahoma? Welcome to Trinity Okmulgee, a friendly and faithful LCMS congregation only 40 miles south of Tulsa. Hi, this is Pastor Chris Teebs. Check us out at trinityokmulgee.org. That's Trinity, O-K-M-U-L-G-E-E, all one word, .org. See you soon at Trinity Ocmulgee, Oklahoma.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Dr. Ross Johnson, Director of Disaster Response for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, about the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey. You spoke earlier about kind of the logistics of, you know, what's going to need to be done from your end over the next several days. And many people kind of want to see what is it going to look like? What actually is going to be done there? Will there be food pantries? Will there be people in boats going out to property, things like that? How would you describe what's going to emerge there in terms of the help?
Over the first couple of months, I call this the short term, we're going to be mucking out houses. That means removing all the soiled debris that can't be salvaged. We're also going to be rebuilding churches and getting churches ready for Sunday worship. We also are going to be giving out gift cards. We find that the most useful thing for residents that have literally nothing but the clothes on their back is to give them a gift card so that they can at least buy an extra change of clothes and emergency food and meals at Walmart or whatever store that they want to shop at. We want to make sure that we're putting tools in place for homeowners to be able to muck out, tear out their homes, safety equipment, gloves, masks, to do that in a safe environment that's already beginning to get mildewed and moldy. And also we have teams of chainsaw workers that are coming in free of charge, going in and cutting down broken trees that are already on people's homes, saving homeowners literally thousands and thousands of dollars. And all that we do, we always offer free of charge. We never offer any disaster, we never charge any disaster victim any fees for the work that we do. Everything that we do is free of charge, and we want to be a blessing in those communities.
Somebody says, look, I know that it's too soon right now because the disaster is still happening as we watch it on TV, but when it's time for manpower, I want to go. How should they go about doing that?
Look on our website. We're going to be updating it with volunteer opportunities, lcms.org/disaster, lcms.org/disaster. And we're going to be updating our website on a regular basis. But right now, what people can be doing is talking to their pastor and asking them, hey, can we as a church be praying for the victims of this hurricane and tornado in Texas? And also talking to their pastors about taking a door offering. Can we do a door offering that we're going to collect money as a church to support all the other churches across Synod through LCMS Disaster Response, and then doing a united work through the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod?
Someone's going to say, look, I just want to send my money to somebody right now, and why isn't a good idea just to send it down to those congregations that have been affected?
Well, there are so many congregations that have been affected. We're not sure which ones are the ones that have the most need, and we want to make sure that there's a evenness that's happening, that not one or two churches that have a lot of social media exposure are going to get tons of funds and other churches don't get anything. There might be a lot more need in other places. So what we're doing is all the funds that we're getting, we are working with the Texas District to put those funds with an action plan in place. Every dollar that we give out in a grant that there's accountability for how those funds are used. There's an action plan that's in place. There's a strategic plan that's being used that's before those funds are given. That strategic plan is done quickly, but it ensures that those funds are being used in the best way possible. Just sending money to an organization or a church or a person, you don't always know how those funds are going to be used, how many other organizations or people are sending those funds. So it's always best to give through an organization that you know and trust.
Folks, you can help support the victims of Hurricane Harvey by making a tax-deductible donation to LCMS Disaster Response. You will find a link at issuesetc.org or call toll-free 1-888-930-4438. That's 888-930-4438. And earmark a donation for Hurricane Harvey victims. Dr. Ross Johnson is Director of Disaster Response for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Ross, keep up the good work. I know you have a lot of work ahead of you and everyone is going to be helping out. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
When we come back from this break, we're going to spend some time with Dr. David Maxwell. On this day, the church is remembering a genuine giant, not in physical stature, but in theological stature, and most certainly in his influence from his time until now. Augustine of Hippo, 5th century bishop there in North Africa. We'll be talking about him with Dr. David Maxwell of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington. Grace Lutheran, McPherson, Kansas. St. Paul's Lutheran, Bridgeport, Nebraska. Our Savior Lutheran, Raleigh, North Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Hancock, Maryland. Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas. St. John's Lutheran, Maple Grove, Minnesota. Grace Lutheran, Parker, Colorado. And Our Redeemer Lutheran, Harrington, Kansas. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues, Etc. 300.